Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And we're back again for the Course of Course podcast, episode 6. Welcome. So let's get right into it. I know that you had an interesting talk that you attended today. Who was it with?
Yes. Dr. Vandana Shiva.
Easy to say.
She is from India and she lives in an eco-village. And she does education. It's mostly centered around genetically modified organisms and not knowing how those are going to interact with the environment or, you know, like with everything, the entire ecosystem.
And where did you have this talk at?
One of them was at LMU, Loyola Marymount. It was part of their yoga and religion studies with the emphasis on the environment. And then the second one was a panel at the Hammer Museum in Westwood.
Oh, so you had two talks in one day.
I did. And she was on there. And then there was two other scientists on the other one. One was in biology and one's written 20 books, but I'm not sure what he did exactly. But he was very prolific.
Can you share with us what got you excited about these talks?
Yeah, what got me excited was how much Vandana Shiva talked about separation. And because I'm so entrenched now in the course, my point of view is always from that language of guilt or
isn't that interesting? So now you're seeing things through the kind of the framework of the Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
It's seeping in, Steph.
Yeah, but it's also interesting to see how the ego has set up this entire world. You know, we call it greed that's driving everything, using resources, not knowing how things are going to come out down the line, but in the short term now because they want profits, they'll do things. And we had the elections this week on mm-hmm. Tuesday, and it was very disappointing to see how much we lost and how the genetically modified right to know labeling initiatives in Colorado and Oregon did not pass. It was very disheartening. But the big companies are putting millions and millions of dollars into these issues. It's easy to get tied up in it. And I think back to some of Gary's books when Art and Persa were talking to him about the second Bush election and how that was stolen and how there's usually a couple million extra votes towards one party versus the other, which means we always have to be ahead and just kind of struggling with what's the best way to change things. And yet it's easy to get sucked in and get emotional and can actually waste time. Like it's just another scheme of the ego to spin me out when it could just be very simple and maybe just do my lessons and read my course and not get so tied up in these policies.
So in Gary's third book, Love Has Forgotten No One, he talks pretty extensively about politics and how ego-driven it is. And yet we are in that soup all the time. So we had to, again, witness these election results. And depending on which side you're on, some people may say, hey, it was a victory. Other people say, oh, it was a massive defeat. But the reality is it's still ego. We're not really talking about coming together. You talked about separation and division. And I think politics is a really good example of that. There's always going to be two sides instead of coming together and working for the greater good. In your talks today, I'm assuming they talked a little about how these divisive factions are at work.
Yeah, they talked about fragmentation and division and dividing and how it's just spinning. It's just constantly dividing and dividing. And the more separation there is between, I guess, like human thought with their food or with how anything happens, how anything happens.
It's a nice call out to the Alexander Marchand book, The Library of Time, because he also did a really great job of illustrating mind fragments and separation and this constant division over and over again of mind fragments.
And they're saying like this machine, which in a way is, you know, a symbol of the ego, is this machine that's moving, whether it was literally making cotton into fabric back then, the Industrial Revolution, or now just with this greed that's out of control and the warring factors and the oil industries and the chemical industries and how everything is just, they're manufacturing this food that isn't real.
So from a course perspective, do you think one of the ways that we can look at this, the things that you learned today and also the election results and Monsanto and the GMOs, that maybe the best course of action, quote unquote, is to not focus on it?
Possibly, because, you know, what does it matter or what does it
right,
mean?
Right, it's not real.
What is it? Yeah. But on the other hand, they kept talking about interconnectedness of everything and how it is all one. So if we can stand united as one, then we actually have some power. So
where are you in this argument? Like, where do you as Stephanie stand in terms of GMOs or what you learned about today from this woman who came to talk?
Well, I do feel that big business has hijacked our food and our soil and our health and our water and all kinds of things. But, you know, it's, I feel like it's happening and it's kind of out of my control. Yet there's a part of me that wants to fight and scream and say, wake up, people. Like, let's vote to label our food in Oregon when it's now only between 8,000 votes. That's how close it was in Oregon. And they're still counting the votes.
See,
on
this
Prop 92.
I find this whole idea fascinating because I think it really shows how much our ego still has control over us when we get very juiced up about this stuff. Because injustice is one of these themes that I've kind of had in my life, right? So we're talking a little about injustice here in this example. So how, when you take in the course, do you basically step back and go, well, you know, this isn't real anyway, mm-hmm. and I don't need to be involved in it. But when we're so used to the fight or trying to make things better or doing the right thing, it kind of pulls us in.
It definitely does.
So at what point do you say, okay, I'm just going to let this go because Monsanto doesn't exist. GMOs don't exist. This is all just a dream anyway. How do I live in my world where everything's perfect?
You know, she said, Dr. Vandana said it would be very easy for me to just stay at the farm mm-hmm. and save seeds. But she feels that part of her spiritual practice is taking right action about causes that she thinks are right causes. I mean, she was truly coming from a right mind, and I wanted to talk to her about the course, but it just, you know, didn't happen. But also she talked about making her ego sleep.
See, this is where it trips me up. I mean, I get it. She's coming from a right mind. She wants to do the best she can for others. But sometimes I think the ego can disguise itself into mm-hmm. these causes.
Yeah.
Like, of course this is the right thing. We want to make sure that people can eat healthy. But in doing that, how much are we getting sucked into the whole separation ourselves?
Yeah, like I was just thinking when you said eat properly, like having good nutrition allows us to think properly. And if we are zoned out in front of the television, like most people tend to be.
Like me, I can zone out.
Eating cookies and sweets and processed foods, things that aren't real, then we're not thinking properly. And I feel like in order to understand the course, one needs to have an attention span and some juice in their brain to be able to understand and question. And
well, this does touch on the complexity of it. Mm-hmm. We talked about before that we can read the books and we can do our lessons and we get it intellectually. But now the challenge is applying it to our daily lives and constantly reminding ourselves that this isn't real and it's a dream. Mm-hmm. But when we see things like this that just seem so obvious, like, come on, people, it's important that we have decent food to eat and it's close to the source and it's not genetically modified. Duh.
Synthetic.
But yeah. Why can't you people see that? Just even saying that comment pulls me into the ego space.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sometimes I feel like in order to really get the course and apply it, I have to not care. But that goes against everything I've kind of been nurtured to do.
It's truly undoing the ego.
Right.
And the ego don't like that.
No. My ego.
That's why it's fighting.
Like I've shared with you before that I use really bad names for my ego. And sometimes I would just cuss it out. I'm like, you just got to stop. My ego is the worst in the morning. I will wake up and I feel like I'm arguing with it. And then I have to be like, you need to go away. Because I got stuff to do today, and I don't have time for you. Or when I'm driving to work, there's all that stuff. It's all that clutter that's going on. It's like I have to really work hard to get it to shut up. And I'm still working through that. But when there's things around us that are unjust, I have an issue with anybody treating animals poorly. That really bums me out, right? Well, how can you not feel something? I get the fact that I can still stay out of ego space and feel empathy. But I am not to the point yet where I can hold back my ego because I just want to beat the crap out of somebody who's hurting an animal. Mm-hmm. It's not right. That's my ego. Oh, I don't like my ego. I said before I'd like to put it online to the highest bidder, but I haven't really done it yet. Should probably try that.
In the middle of the week, I was pondering peace and how to have that sustained peace. piece. And I think you were talking about, you know, disengaging and not getting brought into all of it. So it's like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to turn off all my moveon.orgs and daily cause and all my little organic updates and all this feeding of information that really is feeding the ego? Am I just supposed to turn it all off?
Well, in one of Gary's books, he had said, you know, just act normal. You know, if you're working with the course, that's fine, but just be normal about it. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling with what normal is. Unfortunately, for now, normal to me is getting sucked into the ego. So I need to get to a point where my normal becomes being separated to the extent that I can just forgive and move on and be happy. Mm-hmm. It's the simplest thing, but the hardest thing to do. It's that dichotomy, ironically enough.
Yeah, like every moment coming from spirit is just not practical.
Yeah, and that can be a challenge. I mean, I'm sure that Yeshua had his own challenges in his Jesus lifetime. But I wonder, since we weren't around him, as far mm-hmm. as I know, how he handled stuff that was going on. There's a lot of injustice going on. He clearly suffered from that toward the end. But how he handled it and how he was able to kind of remove himself from getting into the ego space and judgment. So much of what we do on a daily basis, even at work, we have to practice judgment, whether for better or for worse. In order for me to get my job done, there are times when I have to judge somebody. No, you're not doing it right. This is how it needs to be done. I don't like that part of it, but for me to get my job done, I have to do it.
That's course correction, though, in a way, isn't it?
I suppose, but I'm not very good at it. I want somebody to just come and stand next to me and monitor my thoughts and tell me exactly where I've gone off base.
Yeah, well, we always recognize it when we're spinning out. And then we're like...
Right. So I guess the trick is to recognize it before the spin out happens, to get to it sooner and sooner in a timeline, opposed to waiting until you go, oh, wait a minute, that wasn't right. It's funny now that I'm monitoring my thoughts more, how often I spin out. If I wasn't monitoring my thoughts, I wonder, I mean, I'm definitely, in my opinion, a clearer thinker now. And I think I'm more empathetic toward other people. I don't do it all the time, though, but I'm getting better, and the course really helped me with that. It allowed me kind of a guidance system to say, okay, this is what I need to do today. This is how it is in my best interest to interact with people and with things. I mean, I can get mad at my car, and I can cuss out my car. It makes no sense, but I do, you know, and we all have that experience in traffic. It's funny. I am so beatific and loving and spiritual until I get into the 405, and all of a sudden I'm a raging lunatic because somebody won't let me into a lane. It's the smallest thing.
Yeah, if everyone was just going the same speed, it's just people are in their own minds at different speeds.
Right, and that's the challenge, again, for me when I'm around someone who doesn't really seem to be very awake, who is just doing their own thing. And they're not really mindful. So it's challenging for me to be like, it's okay.
It's everyone.
I can love them, but I need to move on. I find human beings fascinating.
Or just allow them to just be. They just are who they are.
Right. You know, it's weird. I talked about this in an earlier podcast. How can you stay in right mind when somebody is confronting you or somebody is doing something that's causing you to get out of your space? How do you separate yourself? I'm not there yet. Maybe one day. Maybe I can talk about that in podcast 2450. We're only on podcast number 6, so it might be a while. But who knows? It could be podcast 24. Mm-hmm. I'm going to think optimistically.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I was going to see if I could find one of my quotes. Oh, yeah. This is from one of the lessons this week that meant something to me when I was thinking about my brothers and my sisters and thinking of, you know, us as each other.
Your physical brothers and sisters or just generally speaking?
Everything. All of it. Okay. Yeah. Fail not your brothers or you fail yourself. Look lovingly on them that they may know that they are part of you and you are part of them.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Where is that from?
Well, for me, this is on my page 3734.
What book is that?
It's the course. It's one of the lessons. I don't know which one. I have to flip back a little bit here. 139.
Lesson 139 in Course in Miracles.
Yeah. It has to do with atonement. And from last week, I was, you know, trying to, I'm still struggling with, okay, I can get that there's a beginning and that there's an end and that we can collapse time and we can get back to the beginning quicker. But I don't understand how the mind can become enlightened, or, you know, like I can become ascended or fully actualized or return to God. Jesus did, or Artin or Persa did, and yet I'm still here. I feel like if one is opening to the whole mind, then the whole mind is returning to God, which means all of us are. Does it have to go back to that fragmentation thing again? Like somehow their experience, because they've transcended, mm-hmm. is that we're all back together. It's just we're still in this stupid nightmare dream as a fragment. But right. Why aren't we all one?
Well, I think they would probably say we are all one, but they just happen to awake from the dream and they're coming back to help us awake from the dream. We're all back to God, but it's just a matter of when we're all going to wake up. We're all there.
I just wish that we could all wake up together all at once.
That would be awesome. But I also, and this is my ego, selfishness, I want to wake up as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And if other people are taking too long, well, forget it. I got things to do. I gotta wake up, man. You guys can stay asleep, whatever. Like the beautiful thing about Artin and Persa, and Mike Lemieux talked about this in Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish? I can't say enough of great things about that book, where they both are basically saying, hey, you know, it's okay. We're fine. They went through their own trials and tribulations, as Gary Renard's book discussed, and certainly in book 3 came to that culmination of what happened with them in their future lifetime. So they came back to help out. So they just showed up with Gary because he's such an amazing communicator and translator of this information, because they wanted to help us. Like, come on, you guys, we're all together. We're all back to God. Wake up, will ya?
Yeah, so in a way, they are trying to help us return and wake up. That's mm-hmm. why they brought us these books.
But. Well, I think for me, every once in a while, I'll drive to work and I'll look around and go, oh my God, this is a big dream. Look at this amazing dream that we've all kind of co-created. Mm-hmm. I drive by LAX on the way to work. We all created planes and air traffic control and cars and buildings. Like, we are amazing. Why can't we just all say, okay, you guys, let's just wake up? If we can all buy into everything else, we should at least be able to come to some agreement that this is just a bunch of hooey, mm-hmm. and we should just wake up. But I think our egos are so stubborn. Oh no, this is great. Let's focus over here at the shiny thing. And then we get stuck.
But what was it? Is it the morphic resonance where one pops and they all start yes. popping? So maybe because these books have come back in and there'll be more of us becoming awakened this mm-hmm. generation, like maybe in the next 100 years.
Wouldn't it be fascinating if these podcasts survived 100 years in the future? And people like, who are these two ladies who are talking about the course? And whatever happened to them? I can tell you this right now, future listeners, we're awake. We've awakened. So we'll see what our future holds. Although our future is our present.
During the week. Let me see here. I think I want to have one more quote here. This is from page 3717, and it says, I would share my healing with the world that sickness may be banished from the mind of God's one son, who is my only self.
Agreed.
Yes.
You know, it's funny, this whole concept of sickness. Maybe we should talk about sickness next week mm-hmm. and what that really means. Sickness and illness.
That's what I was struggling with last week.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's not necessarily physical, it's mental sickness. Right. It's the whole being here is a sickness.
I know. It's like a dreaming sickness. I just want to wake up from this.
And that's the healing.
And that's the
healing. And that comes from truth. And that comes from knowing. And that comes like there's these steps I feel like we have to take to get there.
Well said. All right. Thank you very much. Hey, dreamers. I think this is the end to this podcast. We look forward to talking to you next week. Steph, do you have any closing thoughts?
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. Peace out. There you go. Have a great day, listeners. Bye-bye.